These things are true. The world is dark. You didn't notice anything wrong at first. Time has a way of getting away from you while you're in a prison cell. Figure you must have been imagining that the sun should have risen hours ago. It took another day for it to really set in that the world's gone dark. You heard things from the other cells. Rumors saying that something's gone and blocked out the sun. 10 days passed in the constant darkness, but your routine changed little. You already adjusted to sunlight deprivation. Things changed again a few days ago. You heard things from other cells. Those not fortunate enough to be near a light. Screams and lies. You didn't hear anything from them after that. Now a young man, barely more than a boy, approaches with a key, hands that won't stop shaking. You look in his eyes that you've only seen soldiers. The boy's name is Ed Crane, and he is reluctant to give much detail on the happenings of the outside world. However, he is trained to operate a telegraph and has thus offered each of you the opportunity to send a message to someone out there before you are set loose upon the world.
Mama, I don't know what's going on over there, but I really hope everything's better where you are than where I'm at. I've been hearing terrible things in these walls. I'm so scared about what's going back at home for you. Please grab Marco. Please get out of here. Don't look for me. I'm going to find a place that's somehow better, and I'll come find you. And I'll take you with me. I love you. Please stay safe.
Telegraph, Barry, Texas. One more chance. Stop.
To all the readers of the Bird's Eye Journal, this is Floyd Ray Lewis. There is a storm coming, the likes of which I had never seen before. Make your peace, seek your shelter, leave while you still can. I'm doing the same.
My darling Ellie, I miss you. I hope you're resting easy. I'll do my best to get over the border, but you and I both know that there's nothing left for me. I got rid of the last thing that was keeping me anywhere. I hope I'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural season and episode of Midnight Ceremonies Media's latest podcast, Rolling Midnight. I am Talon Cruz, and I will be your humble GM for this, the first episode of 30 Candles. This particular game of 10 Candles goes by the moniker Out with the Bay. As I said before, my name is Talon Cruz. You can find me on Instagram at Talon_Cruz. And we will go around and introduce ourselves as well as our character. And I will have each of our players introduce themselves, where you can find them, and well as their characters.
I'm Alyssa Salcedo. You can find me at Four Eyes Mini Guys on Instagram. I paint a bunch of miniatures and love the craft. I'm playing today Imelda Vasquez, or Melly, And Melly is a young woman that lost everything in a fight with the law, everything except her old uniform. She's about mid-20s, doing her best to survive.
Hi, I'm Tanith. I don't have a social media presence that is easily accessible or matters, so I'm a ghost. You can't find me online. Haha. I will be playing Andrew Chance. Tall, dark, barely put together. A man with no regrets.
Hi, I'm Quinn Morrison. I use any pronouns. You can find me on Twitter at iTitan_extreme, where I am very prone to having to reposting unhinged content and ever so often writing my own, but largely don't really use social media. I am playing Mr. Floyd Ray Lewis, a storm chaser for a newspaper around here in like the Oklahoma, Texas region. Late 20s, slicked back, salt and pepper hair, with a tanned overcoat and a pop usually sitting between his lips. That's it.
Hello, everyone. I'm Arcadia Reeves, also go by Dia. You can find me on Twitter at Backdraft Blues. And today I'm playing Carmen Riviera, a fiery former nun with long and sleek black hair and a large figure.
A few last things to know before we get started. If you are posting about the show online, please use hashtag RollingMidnight, hashtag 30Candles, and hashtag 30CSpoilers to tag your content, and help us see anything you'd like to share with us. You can follow our studio's official account at MidnightCMedia on Twitter/X, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Blue Sky, TikTok, and YouTube. For more information about our team and other shows, check out our website, MidnightCeremoniesMedia.com. The game we are playing this season is Tin Candles by Stephen Dewey. You can find his work at cavalrygames.com and support him at patreon.com/StephenDewey. On a final note, Tin Candles is a tragic horror game, and this season deals with many heavy themes, including gun violence, gore, harm and death of animals, and death overall. Please check our episode descriptions for content warnings. With all that established, let's begin.
All right. Now that we've gotten some introductions out of the way, let's not delay any further and dive right back in. Now that you have finished sending out your messages via this young man, we focus on the scene. It's a kind of small office meant for various paperwork here within this prison you have been being kept in. And he kind of turns back towards you. He's a young man, this kind of sandy blonde hair, just real skinny, 18 at the absolute oldest, possibly younger, not quite lost all of his baby fat. And he kind of turns back over and is like, that the last of them?
Seems to be, son.
I don't think we got much time to even make any more.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Speaking of, where can I find the nearest horse?
I think there are still a couple tied up outside. Reckon anyone else, everyone else who was planning on leaving already, I think already left. I'm going to stick around and kind of visibly swallows keep sending messages.
Kid, you need to leave.
I think I'm going to go in and keep stay here and keep passing along messages as long as I can. I think you can kind of hear some thunder rumbling in the distance. He kind of reaches down towards one of the drawers, opens it, and you see looks like there are a couple of revolvers in there. Takes one out, sets it on the desk. I think I'll hold on to one of these. You can take the rest of the bullets. Reckon I'm only going to need the one.
How many revolvers are in the drawer?
Just one extra, aside from the one that he is keeping. He kind of sets it out. Not necessarily handing it to any of you, but just kind of setting it out for anyone to take who wants it.
Anyone going to take the gun? Or?
I'll take the gun. I won't mind.
All right, take it.
I'm no good with the revolver.
Andrew is definitely eyeing it, but will not stop Melly for now.
Yeah, I'll just reach for it and go, you, all right.
You fired a thing like that before?
Technically, yes, but I really don't
want
to.
Why don't you hand me the gun?
Why don't you back the fuck up?
Well. All right.
Big britches.
You didn't want to go for the gun first. Why are you trying to go for the gun now?
Both of y'all hold your horses.
I just reach for the gun and just immediately holster it.
Andrew will put up a hand like, all right.
Yeah, he kind of, Edgar kind of pushes, you know, not even necessarily in a proper container, just kind of various, like a stack of loose, he empties the revolver that he is keeping aside from, but then picks up one bullet to load back in and pushes the rest of them to you. Not even necessarily in a proper container, just loose ammo for you to have. The entire time that he's been, like you've been kind of arguing over this, he has been continuing to just relay messages, and you've just this continuous beeping of Morse code that you've been hearing underlying your scene.
Mm-hmm.
Thunder rumbles once again, and you kind of, if y'all are, I think we're just about the last people here, so you're welcome
we should
to
leave.
Anything else you can find, but I reckon you should get out of here as soon as you can.
All right.
The other stations, last message if they send before they gone dark. All of them have mentioned thunder.
Good to know.
All right, so we ain't got much time. Do you happen to know if y'all got anything left in your armory, or is this it? And I motion to the bullets.
We're the last ones out of here.
I mean, I think probably most things have been cleared out, but you're welcome to check if you need it. I've never been all that good with a gun, so it wasn't worth it for me to check.
All right.
There are a couple of still burning oil lanterns, so you can take one to, go deeper into the prison without, you know, leaving this boy in the dark.
Marmon's going to grab one of them.
How many bullets were there, by the way?
I'll say that the one you had was also full, so I'm going to say you have 11 bullets right now.
All right. Thank you.
So are you going to go ahead and go down to the armory to look for whatever they have left?
Seems like a good plan.
Mm-hmm. Armin's just going to start walking, hoping somebody follows her.
Floyd's quick behind her.
Just over the light.
Yeah. I think everyone kind of is quick to follow up. As you approach the armory, it looks like someone who got here before you had already broken the door down.
Beautiful.
So it's not a challenge to get in. It's already open. But who is leading the kind of search for any materials? You saying Andrew is?
Yes, sorry.
All right, so Andrew, go ahead and give me the roll. You have the full 10d6 right now.
All right, let's fuck it up.
You can do it.
All right.
Even alive. First roll, let's see.
Fuck it, we ball.
We have 1-6 and 1-1, which is pretty good.
All right.
We're going to take that.
That is a success. Everyone set one of your D6s aside, as that will be, you will no longer have that. Unless, I mean, you can if you want to. You can burn one of your traits to reroll that, but...
I have my moment.
Oh, right, you have your moment.
I can't.
All right, so yeah, you win narration rights. What do you find in the armory?
I mean, seeing as you're giving me narration rights, I feel like there's gotta be one gun locker that all of the other... schmucks who came here before us somehow couldn't open. All the guards had lost that one key, or it's got a weird padlock on it, something of that nature, but they didn't think it was worth it to try and go through because maybe it was a little smaller. But with the noting of its lack of having been opened, and maybe either a fine hand or the use of some front force that as displayed. It is opened, and inside is at least one more gun and then probably a box of ammunition.
Yeah, to kind of elaborate a little bit more on what you were describing, it looks like the door itself had gotten like jammed in some way. Maybe like when it was built, it wasn't aligned quite right. So it was a bit trickier to get open, and definitely seemed, based on the mess that was left behind, it seems like anyone who came here was in a bit of a hurry. So it just was not worth trying to get the jammed door open before getting out. But you, between the four of you, you take a couple of extra moments to really wrench it open. And with a like deafening clang as it opens up, you see inside there is a proper rifle, like a bit more of a long range weapon, as well as an additional revolver, a couple of boxes of ammunition. So for the most part, you won't really be worrying about it if you carry those with you, as well as like a proper bandolier that also carries some rifle shells in order to just like make carrying them a little easier, as well as reloading a little easier. So we established that Melly already has the one revolver. Who reaches for the two guns you find inside?
I ain't going to find anyone else on these two.
Andrew will probably take the revolver because I'm trying to establish that he knows how to fucking use guns.
All right.
But we'll relinquish the revolver to one of our other two compatriots.
Wait, did you take the revolver or the rifle?
Sorry, I said Andrew will take the rifle.
Okay, yeah. So Andrew, you kind of shoulder the rifle, take a moment to get the feel for it. Like I said, it has a proper strap with it, so you're able to sling it over your back for easy carry. There's still a revolver. Do Floyd or Carmen reach for it?
Carmen's going to put her free hand up, still holding on to the lamp. I got my hands full. You can take the revolver.
All right. Three out of four of you are armed as you kind of leave this armory. You hear thunder continue to grow louder outside. Definitely seeming more common. It is also a strange thing to be hearing this much thunder without being able to see lightning.
Is there ozone on the air at all?
I think there's definitely you're starting to smell some like ozone, like there's definitely the scent of a storm.
And how's the wind?
Well, right now I think you're in an interior, well, I guess maybe the armory, like you kind of a brief. Now I'm gonna say that like you can hear wind moving outside, but you're having a hard time figuring out exactly how bad it is from an interior position where you are right now.
We need to move. Any later and the horses are going to be too scared to move. So.
All right, let's get going.
Didn't plan on staying here any longer anyway.
I'll be the first out to head to the horses.
Yeah, you start to head out. You pass by the door that Edgar is in. You still hear him, the constant rhythmic beeping from the telegraph as he continues his work before you make your way outside. I'm going to go ahead and say, Floyd, go ahead and give me the roll to see what you find as you step outside looking for horses.
This is with 9 dice, correct?
Yeah, 9 dice.
Okay, that is 2 6s and 1 1.
All right. So you are down to 8 6s, or 8 dice. Everyone keep that in mind. You are down to 8 dice for the scene.
All right.
So you win narration rights. What do you find as you step outside looking for horses?
So the walking outside, there is a nice little stable that was once outfitted with quite a number of horses, but now has just the 4. They are quiet, nicely tied up, whinnying quite a bit due to the constant barrage of thunder on the outside and the wind picking up now at around maybe 20 to 30 miles an hour. Hair's blowing in our face.
Wind's starting to move faster. Thunder's growing louder. But these are well-trained horses. These aren't necessarily civilian horses. These are ones, you know, intended to be used by police. And as such, they're better trained, less likely to panic. So, you know, good, solid horses for you to have. Storm continuing to approach. As you said, wind's picking up speed. Each of you have your own horse to ride as you are going to make your ways away from this place. As you are out here, you do finally see a crack of lightning a distance away, briefly illuminating the oncoming storm moving towards you. That just darkens.
From which direction?
It's moving towards you from a northwest direction.
And we're making our way south and east.
As you are making your way outside, Edgar kind of steps outside briefly, holding a lantern, trying to like shield his face from the rain. As he kind of speaks up, I was like, wait, just a minute. I got a message. Glad I could catch you. Message. Port town. Kind of dust gets into his face from where like dirt is being kicked up. He kind of continues to shield his face. There's been a town in Port town, Corpus Christi, on the Gulf. They say there's a boat there's going to be there for a bit longer. You just need to head your way head your way east, southeast, and you'll get there. If you get there in the soon, you still got boats left to try to get there. They say that don't think that the whatever it is that's been causing these problems, don't think it's made their way to South America yet. You can get on a boat ride there, then you might be able to get away.
All right.
Do we have a sense of where we are? Like, do we know how long it will take to get to the port town?
You all are in the town of Fumonts, which you know to be maybe a few hours ride, not like a full day, but about the amount of time that you would spend traveling on a normal day away from Corpus Christi. So like, it would be a hard push to get there, especially in this weather. Within like a day's travel, but it is possible. It just means that you'll be like pushing pretty hard.
All right. Thanks, kid. South America. All right.
Better than anything at this point.
As you guys are like standing outside in this rain with a like lantern as your source of light, I'm going to go ahead and ask. I know that in general it's more of like when you're taking an active action, but I am going to ask Carmen to please make a roll for me in just kind of keeping this thing lit in the storm.
Got it.
Oh, good.
As like the wind picks up and rain starts to pelt down on you.
Oh no.
That's 2 6s and 1 1.
All right. You are down to 7 dice for this scene. You guys have been doing pretty good for yourselves to be getting this many successes in a row.
Is it possible for on that success for me to find another oil lamp that hasn't been lit yet that's in the stable but I can grab as a backup?
I'll allow it. Yeah, I'll allow it.
Right. She ties that on her belt.
Yeah, kind of clangs a little bit against you, like kind of hits against your leg as you get it, but each of you are able to get yourselves up onto your horses. Edgar, just kind of again, still standing in the doorway with his lanterns. Good luck! Good luck, and God be with you!
Same to you, son.
Safe travels to you, kid.
See you on the other side.
I only got one place left I'm fitting to go, and, well, I guess I do suppose it'll be a safe journey there.
It'll be brighter than here.
That's for sure.
Good luck.
Godspeed.
And kind of turns to go back into the prison, and you see as he like goes further back into it. So you guys are left out now on your horses. What are you trying to do?
Let's ride.
Is there any possible way for us to recognize exactly geographically where Southeast is? Like, is there any signage or is there any stars in the sky? Or is it just truly the opposite of where the storm is going?
The sky is pretty much blocked out at this point. So in order to try to navigate, I'm going to ask Melly to give me a roll. You guys are at 7 dice now.
Wow. Okay. I got some good news. We got 1 6 and 1 1.
Nice.
We keep winning. We
That's
keep
been
winning.
This pattern so far. So
these are very thematic dice.
But you are down to 6 dice in your pool, I believe.
Yeah. All right.
So I think like as you're going, you're able to like figure out the signage of this area. I mean, it kind of makes sense that being like a like prison where there'd be, you know, there probably is a fair amount of navigation needed to get around.
There's like a main well-trodden path situation.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's definitely like the past two port towns are more recognizable and more identifiable than like other places.
All right.
So I think you're able to, you know, takes you a couple extra, little bit of extra time of searching around to get your bearings, especially after spending so long in a prison cell. But you're able to, like, you know, find some signage and find a path that seems like it'll take you to Corpus Christi.
All right.
The storm continues to roll closer, moving at what is now easily identifiable as unnatural speeds. The prison you've been kept with, it's not like a small place. Like, it's not like a kind of traditional like sheriff's office. It's like a proper place for large groups of prisoners to be held. So it's a fairly large structure. So you can see that just like the very northwestern tip is like starting to, like, that's coming under cloud cover by this strange unnatural storm as the winds continue to buffet you. But you are all able to take off moving with your horses. Is there anything you guys are doing as you set off traveling?
Edgar mentioned that them is a thing. Is it a possibility for us to be able to see who they are on the horizon?
Yeah, and the flashes of light.
I'll ask Melly to give me another roll as you kind of take a glance over your shoulder.
Can't ask for shit in this game. I was tempted to be like, is there a damn hat in there? I was like, I'm going to have to fucking roll for a hat.
Well, guys, guess what? I'm going to burn something real quick.
Oh, no.
How many ones did you get?
I got 2 ones.
2 ones and no sixes?
No sixes.
All right. What is your trait that you are burning?
I'm going to burn foolhardy. So I'm going to ride ahead in front of everyone, just fully separating from the pack, losing any kind of light, and just looking forward as farther as I can, just to get a kind of like a scouting situation going on. And I I'm kind of not paying attention to anything around me in the sense of, like, not for my safety, but in the sense of, like, what is there?
All right. Go ahead and give me a reroll those 2d6, and we'll see if you get a success.
All right.
No?
No.
All right. That is our first failure, and I will go ahead and darken our first candle. These things are true. The world is dark.
I don't see exactly what those figures are. But I see up ahead that there's a minimum 20 just gathered. We gotta go around.
They do not appear to be hostile or even necessarily moving. They seem to be this group. Large group of people seems to actually just be sitting around a large campfire without moving. When I say not moving, as I mean as like not moving as a group. They are moving around and like shifting and seem to be alive, but they're not actively moving in a particular direction, it doesn't seem. Just sat around a fairly large campfire.
These people standing, staying still, they welcome them as their worshippers.
In that light that they are gathered around, we can see something sticking up from the fire. A lovely symbol of hope and prayer for most, burning.
The rain has died down, but not by much.
It looks like their movements are getting more frantic.
You are able to put distance between yourselves and the storm, but not by much.
Out in the country, there is nothing but dust and sand that impedes movement.
And we are alive.
You all are riding towards, or in your path towards Corpus Christi. There is this large group milling about a bonfire, growing more frantic as the storm approaches. Within the flames, it takes you a minute to figure out what you're looking at as you approach, because there are actually various objects. It looks like not even necessarily restricted to the holy objects, but all objects that could be found within a church have been moved. Like there's pews that are burning. There's just like, again, not even just strictly crosses or Bibles, but just any number of items, anything that could be dragged out of a church and put into this bonfire is burning. And you see that one of the members of this group is waving towards you.
We don't go near them, right?
No. Go around.
Not even to check it out?
We have no time to afford.
The only thing we have that they could want is our weapons, but I don't like the odds.
There's more of them than there is of us.
1 to 4.
All right, so you all are attempting to ride around them?
Floyd takes his gun out just to, like, have in case they try anything.
Yeah, you see as you guys start moving into a path that kind of go around them, several members, not all of them, but several members of this congregation kind of start to run to move into the path that you all are trying to go around, seeming to try to block your path.
Do they look aggressive?
It's kind of hard to tell. Right now, there definitely still seem to be more like there is a mania and manicness to their movements that makes it hard to tell what is aggression and what is just this, like, overbearing happiness and ecstasy that all of them seem to be reveling in.
Horses are quick and agile. We try and evade them.
All right. Go ahead and, Floyd, give me a roll to see if you are able to successfully. So now you all are down to 9d6.
Mm. Oh, we're back to 9.
Okay, yeah, you're cool. Back up to 9.
Sick.
And I roll 1.
This whole time, Carmen's just can't take her eyes off the fire. But she's still right forward.
Ooh. Okay, that's... I'm gonna burn.
No sixes?
I got a 6.
Okay. How many ones did you get?
2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are you burning?
I'm gonna burn quick-witted.
Alright.
Reroll those 2 ones. That will be... Well, it's no ones now, but no more sixes.
Alright, I only got 1 6, but ties go to the player, so you get narrative control. What happens?
The horses do end up being more agile than the cultists standing in our way. How many did you say were split off from the rest of the group?
Well, there were 20 total, so I'm going to say maybe like 5 or 6 kind of started to go run over and try to just generally get in your way and make a fuss.
One of them gets, unfortunately, stuck in the path and gets trampled by one of the horses.
Oh yeah, now, while before all of them were kind of, you know, again, this strange line between manic friendliness and genuine aggression, I'm like, oh, come on, please, oh, yeah, come on, it's like, hey, come on, stop, hey, come on, it's kind of, hey, how's it going, like all that, like general, like very friendliness, like, hey, stop, come on, please, come on, stop. You're able to quickly, like, drag your horse to, like, the side to get out of the way of most of them, but the smallest of their number, probably the slowest or the smallest but slowest, who's this kind of, like, older white woman, gray hair that she's kind of let loose, very feeble and obviously less quick and less mobile than the rest of them. You, as you're like trying to move around, she purposefully like continues to throw herself in the path of your horse to try to keep you from moving. And in that moment, even this like well-trained horse panics as there's, you know, a person getting all up in their face and rears back. And as the horse comes down, there's a sickening crunch beneath their hooves as this woman goes down, like, this somewhere between like a laugh and a shriek of before she expires beneath it. And this, you know, obviously gains the attention of the rest of the group, who now seem to be grabbing various items from the bonfire, flaming, using them as like flaming clubs as they approach you. So you're like,
oh. They didn't like that. Right.
Yeah, let's pick up one.
Go.
Is Floyd once again taking lead of kind of pushing them to go ahead?
Sure.
I will ask again, just kind of try to get your horses going and at speed. Again, you're managed to like mostly navigate your way through the ones that were immediately by you, but they are still trying to slow you down, and there are more running and trying to get it both into your path as well as just to attack you, some of them even going as far as throwing objects at your horses. So go ahead and give me another roll.
Oh god. Some real bad news. Although, that is 2 sixes.
Oh?
But 4 ones.
Oh, whoa.
4 ones, and you cannot burn another trait in this scene.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
goody.
Oh no.
Woof.
So you are down to...
5.
Yeah. You are now down to 5d6 for the rest of this. So you are able to, like, with a kind of, yeah! Get your horses going. Floyd pushing himself, like, ahead of the rest of the group to take the lead and kind of push and, like, navigate your way through as, like, you know, items are thrown at you. Or I guess, yeah, you want narration, right? So is there anything else you want to describe?
I think... since we're just still close kind of to the town that we were in, we do eventually come upon a road, a solid road, and are able to make haste away from this crew There are a couple of shots that ring out. Maybe one of a flaming object coming a bit too close for comfort.
So you take a shot?
Yeah. That sends it off course, but...
Also, yeah, that's part of your initial success. You all see as the storm, behind you, the storm continues to approach. The few members of this, cult that did not chase you now are, turning. And you see, they are all turning towards the storm, and they are walking into it willingly. Like, they are turning, they see, the clouds, and as it gets closer, you're able to, even recognize that this is not a storm in the sense of, just clouds in the sky. This is clouds reaching from the ground up into the heavens. Just a solid mass of cloud cover, of dark clouds, where you can hear the rumble of thunder coming from within. And you watch as these members of the cult are turning away from you and just walking into the clouds with something like awe on their faces, where they just stare up into it and go well into it willingly. And lightning, thunder rumbles. So yeah, but you all have managed to move past it, and you see but you do notice, you also notice that as the storm approaches, the blazing bonfire of religious objects, it seemingly parts for a moment around the flames, seemingly creating this small barrier around it before the rain that accompanies it snuffs it out. And as soon as the last of the embers goes out, it's swallowed within the clouds and disappeared.
Good question. Is the storm kind of a swirling mass like a tornado, or is it a wall?
Especially with your background, I think you'd recognize that this does seem to be, it's very large, so it's hard to see where it would end. But you are able to recognize that this thing does not just stretch infinitely in directions. It is a contained thing. It's just unbelievably large. So it does seem to be a certain curve to it around the edges. Like I said, it's not just a solid mass of clouds that is slowly moving southeast. It is a swirling storm that is moving in this direction.
Well, the worst part of a tornado, you can't tell it's moving towards you. So.
All right, but you all continue riding further southeast, approaching the Gulf, riding through this darkness, but lit by, I think over time, after you're past this initial encounter, Carmen kind of starts to take the lead with the lantern to kind of light your way as much as you can. But yeah, you all have a few minutes of just pushing your horses to ride to get away from the storm. And as you get further away, it is easier to tell that this is, it's not just a solid mass that would slowly swallow the world. It is singular in that sense. It is contained, it's not infinite.
As Carmen starts to lead, so that her back is towards everybody else at her face, and she's facing forward, she's going to speak up. Did y'all see what they were burning?
I
did.
Bibles, pews, crosses?
Religious.
What do you think it means?
It means there's a church nearby, and where there's a church, there's a town. And where there's a town, there's supplies. Let's just hope it wasn't behind us.
But what does it mean?
Looks like they forsook God for something else.
Sacrifices.
Sacrifices. Real odd things happen in the end of the world, I guess.
The way they were treating it, I don't know how human they were anymore.
It seemed almost otherworldly the way the storm parted. for those flames.
Or it's worldly. And they just seem... I mean, we've been locked up in cells for days. Can you imagine what everybody else has seen? We saw a kid with shaky hands, but they might have seen way worse.
That's why it's imperative we get ourselves on that ship as quick as possible.
Guess so.
In my opinion, it's probably best for that we never saw any of this yet. Gives us a chance to fight. If you don't know what's going to hit you.
Fight what?
I don't know.
There's a fucking NATO. What am I supposed to do? Shoot a cloud?
Lock. We could fight the people that would try and get us to join them.
Sure.
Maybe there's something in that cloud.
Do you want to find out?
The devil can lose to a boy with a fiddle. I don't see why we can't shoot him in the head for summoning storms on Earth.
Compelling point.
Before I landed in prison, I saw them.
What were they?
Before the storm.
What'd they look like? Angels?
Devils?
Man.
No man, no angel, no devil. Just a figure shrouded in cloud. But I saw a hand. I saw the flames rise, winds howl, earth shake, rain fall.
I don't know. That sounds a little bit like an angel to me.
Sounds like another Noah's Ark, and I don't want to be a part of that.
That
means we didn't make it.
I don't know why you found yourself in prison. But if this is rapture and I'm going to have to atone for my sins, then I know damn well why.
Let's see if we can put off atoning a little further, though. And Carmen's going to keep pushing forward.
You all continue forward. You were able to put some more distance behind yourself. It does seem that the group that you left behind you, you realize that that whatever this thing is, this storm, this living maelstrom, it seemed to slow down for a period of time after those cultists walked into it. So you're able to put a bit more distance between yourselves. Carmen, as the one leading the group and trying to navigate, is there anything in particular you are looking for?
I mean, I think if we're following a road, it's less looking for something and more looking like out for things, you know? Anything that might block our path, something like that.
Yeah, if you're kind of keeping an eye out for any dangers, go ahead and give me a roll to see.
Okay, and we're at 5 dice, right?
You're at 5, yes.
Okay. No 6s and a 1. I mean, I feel like this is a good place to burn something, right?
Wouldn't hurt.
Okay, I'll burn my vice card.
All right.
Distrustful.
How does this manifest? Like, what does it... What benefit does this give you?
I think after what Floyd told us about what they look like, I think that Carmen can't stop thinking about what it might actually look like to see for herself. And it makes her a little bit scared and a little skittish.
All right. So you get to reroll 1 die?
1 die.
Okay. Reroll.
That was a 1.
It was a 1?
You're
So that brings us to the end of our second scene. Our second candle, Orchids. These things are true. The world is dark.
As we go up the road, there's something lying in it. We can't tell what it is yet.
Far in the distance, we can see the beginnings of a town. Don't know if anyone's there yet. Or still.
Whatever it is lying across the road, you can tell it was once alive, but is no longer.
The air around us carries a stench of iron and sulfur.
Chance's saddlebag on this whole borrowed steed of his contains a single boom. A flask, half full, or half empty, depending on your disposition.
The dead thing lying in the road is someone one of us might recognize.
We ain't got much time before the storm gets closer. Probably barely enough to check out the body, but that's seconds at best.
And we are alive.
Alright, so you are down to 8 dice in your Camino pool. Well, back up, given how we ended, but your total is now 8 dice. So, as you all are riding, as the road is blocked by something that is now dead, and as you approach, you can see that it is a what you first mistook for one large body is in fact 2, a horse and a rider.
Armin's gonna start riding up to it, but carefully bringing the horse to a walk.
Does Carmen recognize them?
I don't think so. But yeah, she's gonna stop next to it and wait for everyone else to take a peek.
Chance won't be too far behind.
Does Chance recognize who this body is?
If I may, I think he does.
Who is this?
Barry's fine sheriff. The one that Chance didn't get.
Right. A sheriff. And something you see, or I think you notice, both you and Carmen as the person who knows it to approach. You notice that the cause of death of both him and the horse is obvious. There are bullet wounds.
The smell of iron and sulfur on the air. Floyd is on the lookout in the surroundings.
Mel is keeping an eye on how quickly the storm is following us. Just making sure we do got time.
I don't think there's anything we can do about this, is there?
There's one. I think Chance is going to take the moment to dismount, whether or not his companions stay behind. He's going to reach down, rifle through this man's breast, coat, pocket, shirt.
I think something you notice as you get even closer, whatever star badge he once wore is missing.
Even better. Does he have a hat? Is it nearby?
Yeah. He has a hat. It looks like it fell off when whatever it is killed him and his horse laying him away. It's dusty, got up some dirt in it.
Chance is going to take that, dust it off, put it on his head.
Do you think this counts as Chance having his moment?
I would like it to.
All right. Roll your 8d6.
Yay.
We're doing it. I got 2 sixes and 2 ones.
Yeah, I only got 1d6. So you get your hope die. In this moment, what does justice look like?
In this moment, Justice looks like the body lying dead on the ground. Bullet wound through the temple. Man's hat on another man's head. Quiet. Empty. Simple.
And I forgot to ask, did you get any ones when you rolled?
I did, I got two.
So that means we are down to six dice.
Do I burn the moment?
Yeah, you burn your moment.
Then I will do that most ceremoniously.
All right. Each of you see this. Floyd, I believe you were taking a moment to keep watch as this occurred.
Yeah. There were shooters that can't have been far.
Go ahead and give me a roll of to see when you're looking around.
Ooh! No ones and two sixes.
I only got 1 6. You get narration control. What does Floyd see as he takes a moment to scan the horizon?
Off in the distance, barely peeking out through the storm in the direction that they're heading, the lights of two swinging oil lamps signaling an entrance to a town. No people.
You approach this empty town. You continue down your road. You pass by after Mr. Chance has had his moment. What do you guys do after you see him place this hat on his head, confirming there's no immediate danger aside from the storm behind you?
Looks nice. Goes well with your outfit.
It certainly does.
There's a town in the distance, so we shouldn't dally.
Right.
Pick up what we can. Keep moving.
Are there any supplies on the body?
Not that I found, but I didn't choose to look that much. He can take whatever he had with him to hell.
That attitude will serve you well.
Let's go then.
You all continue onward into what appears to be an abandoned town. You don't see anyone outside. No horses are currently milling about. Seems to be an abandoned ghost town.
Are there shops, stalls of food, barrels of preserved meats, anything?
I'm going to ask you to be slightly more specific about what you are looking for, and then I will ask you to roll to see what
supplies,
you
essentially, just like food supplies, because if we're getting on a ship.
Yeah, I mean, there's a general store that you could just got. You see like a, you know, fairly standard general store, you know, unclear how well stocked it is. Are you taking the time to look through it?
Shall we?
Better safe than sorry.
I think we can spare a few minutes to pick through what's left.
Carmen, most hands on deck, the better.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, Floyd, give me a roll.
All right. That is a 6 and 2 ones.
I did not roll any sixes, so I believe you lose 2 more dice.
Yeah.
But you do get narration rights. But yeah, so what do you find in the general store?
This specific general store. This town was home to not really that many people. And it seemed a lot of them all left in a hurry, scared of what was coming. So this general store remained fairly unlooted. Since they left early on, so all the produce has gone to waste. But preserved meats, various items with longer shelf lives are all still quite there, right for the taking.
Yes, seemingly an unusually savvy town where the residents were able to, perhaps just those who recognized that moving towards somewhere such as Corpus Christi would be an advisable move. It should dangerize the ability to, well, get the hell out of Dodge. There are even a couple of bags or sacks that you're able to find to just kind of fill with various items. Outside of what was specifically mentioned, is there some, anything anyone else is particularly looking for within this store?
More oil for the lamps.
Yeah, I think maybe you're really kind of looking more out in the front area. I feel like something like oil would be more kept in like back areas, back rooms, more like controlled. So you kind of take a moment to step away from the main area. So Carmen, give me a roll as you move towards one of the back storage rooms.
All right. That's no sixes and a one.
Do you have anything you can burn?
I just have my moment at the top, so I don't think I can burn my moment.
No. So that is a failure. And with that, as Carmen steps into the back room, the scene ends. These things are true. The world is dark.
I find some oil.
Looking out the window, checking to see just any possibility, I see some footsteps of someone coming into the street.
As you step into the back room, Carmen, you feel the temperature drop significantly, and you can see your breath in front of you.
The wind outside is picking up again. The storm's getting closer.
Chance took a chance on the till. Found that a few dollars had been left behind. Hopefully it'll be enough to pay for their passage.
There is nothing in the back room except an open back door with muddy footsteps leading outside of it.
And we are alive.
Carmen, you feel like the temperature drop. It's been colder ever since the sun got whatever it is, blocked out the sun. But you feel it grow to downright wintry temperatures as your breath is visible, misting the air in front of you. You can see on what windows or what glass still remains after the chaos that the apocalypse causes. There's frost on it. Door open that leads outside. What do you do?
I'm gonna grab the oil.
Found a few dollars.
Sounds good. Carmen's gonna step forward, grab the oil that she saw, and very quickly rejoin everybody else.
Couple sacks over his shoulder. Floyd hoists him onto his horse.
Someone's approaching the horses.
Fucking hell.
Oh shit. Let's go.
Rifle readied.
Run on out.
Gun drawn.
Yep.
I think you see kind of idly leaning against the flank of one of your horses. Man, rough looking, has a hat tilted low over his eyes, cigar in his mouth, smoking. Just idly spinning a gun in his hand. It's moving pretty quick, but you can tell just from even the motions he's doing that, or even with the motion, that it's a nice gun, filigreed, something that would be pretty expensive. And he just kind of, you know, standing there, doesn't seem to be paying you any mind.
Be a friend of yours, Chance?
Not that I recognize. Can we help you, friend?
Well, I think you. I don't reckon you probably could, but maybe. Maybe.
Continues to smoke.
Sir, we ain't got all day. You're gonna have to move faster.
Storm's coming.
Kinda glances up at the storm. You can see he's, you know, someone maybe late 20s, early 30s, handsome face, like has a bit of like stubble growing on it. You can see even like beneath his hat a slightly, he's got a slight bit of wavy hair. Something that you notice as he kind of leans up and you can kind of see the light of where he was like lighting a cigar come up along the temple of his head, like right running alongside it. There is a cut in his hat, like it looks like a something tore through like part of his hat, but he's still wearing it. And he has this like slightly manic look in these arctic blue eyes in what would otherwise be a handsome face, just this far too intense as he stares at you.
Say, are you the one who shot that man lying right outside of town?
Oh. Yes, I would, actually. See, I myself am officer of the law. And I figured maybe someone like him, but seemed like he must be getting pretty lazy, pretty lackluster in his duties if someone such as me could just come along and off him. So I relieved him of his duties. And you see he kind of moves part of his vest, and on his shirt you can see not just like one or two, but he has like five sheriff badges pinned to his shirt. That's been my business, going around relieving those unfit for their duties.
Well, I'd offer to shake your hand, but time's pretty expensive right now. How can we help you?
Well, then, if you are on a rush, suppose that the only thing I have left to say is, I suppose there's a bit of a question. Which one of you is the quickest draw?
Chance shoots him.
Yeah, no, Flint also shoots him.
All right. Chance was already holding the rifle.
Yeah, if Chance is trying to shoot him, go ahead and give me a roll. You are down to 7 dice.
7 and my hope die.
Plus your hope die, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, remember, that also counts as success on a 5.
Mm-hmm.
Go, Chance, go.
I have 2 successes, including my hope die, which has a 5.
All right. I only rolled 1. So, you get narration rights. Chance, describe for me what happens as he kind of looks up at you and you decide to fire on him.
Well, when you ask someone in this situation who's the quickest draw, you're going to expect to get drawn on. And I think it's probably safe to say that as the man, probably his hand already by his gun, I'm sure, pulls his gun out of the holster, Chance, who had been already holding the rifle ready, lifts, doesn't even aim that much, and fires. Horse be damned. However, given that this was so successful, and maybe something about the angle of how the man was standing and where the horse was, and the fact that it definitely startles during all of this, wherever the bullet went, it didn't hit the horse. And it definitely goes through our good new friend.
Yeah, I think that as you try to quickly aim and fire, you fire maybe a little bit prematurely before getting towards any of like kill zones, so you kind of manage to hit him in like the side, manages to hit him so that even when he draws and fires his gun, it goes wide as just the bullet hitting him spins him partially. He's knocked to the ground. He's not dead yet, but you can hear him like taking a couple rasping breaths as he is badly injured.
I'm gonna just run straight at him. Try to curb stomp him.
All right, if you are running at him to attack him in the melee, I am gonna ask for another roll from Melly as he tries to hit him.
Oh, Lord. Oh Lord, I got 1 6, and I got and I got 3 1s.
Oof! Ouch!
God!
Oof, ouch! Damn. Our dice. Our pool.
So that brings you down to 4 for future rolls. I got 2 6s, which means I get narration rights. Yeah, but as you run up, he's a man who is currently lying on the ground, half laughing, half wheezing as he bleeds out. So yeah, you run up, taking this moment to try to just finish him off. You do manage to drive your boot down directly onto where he is, like, bleeding, bloody. You can see that his hat has fallen off in a scuffle, and there is, in the same place where there was a cut in his hat, there was scar tissue along his temple, as though a bullet just barely missed braining him at one point in his past. But as you drive your boot down into him, it almost looks like a reflex or like an unwilling action. As your boot comes down, his arm just comes up, bullet gun fires, just tears through your kneecap. Bits of blood, bone, muscle all burst out of your leg, and you just immediately like lose balance and go down on the ground beside him as he continues to laugh. Like, careful there. Your dad will still buy it.
God damn it, you got a fucking gun. Use it.
I think Chance is to shoot him again.
Floyd is going to run over to Melly and try and, like, stop blood flow as quick as possible.
Yeah, give me a roll as you try to makeshift bandage Melly as she lies on the ground. I don't think even this man is, like, trying to stop you. He's just continuing to wheeze and laugh, knowing that his, like, end is coming, pretty much.
Oh, son of a bitch, I didn't want to scare her off the horses more.
Oh boy, there's no sixes and 2 ones. I am gonna burn my second trait.
Alright, what is it?
Greedy. We need as many people as possible alive in this moment.
In this moment, you're less looking at Melly as a person and more looking at her as an asset.
Yes.
Something to use to keep you alive. So, re-roll.
A 6! And no... no one.
I got 1 6. So yeah, narrate how you are able to staunch the bleeding from Melly's leg.
Being quick-witted, Floyd just rushes to Melly's side and rips some leather off of a satchel. Or, well, there was a satchel on the horse that he was with, and he rips apart the satchel, gets the belt loop off of it. Not belt loop, but you know, satchel loop. And quick ties sailor's knot on Melly's leg.
You manage to make a makeshift tourniquet to keep Melly from bleeding out in this moment.
That leg's lost, by the way, honey. Hope you know.
Yeah, you are in a lot of pain right now.
We won't lose your life.
We got whiskey? What are you talking about? We got whiskey?
We got something.
Another dead body. You made sure of that, Andrew.
I think Andrew's standing probably exactly where he was when he first took the shot, just gun aimed at our dying old friend who we still have no name for.
Yeah, he's kind of clutching his side.
I suppose you're deserving more. Deserving of this, me.
And you see as he takes off one of the sheriff badges from his shirt and then just flicks it towards you.
I ain't a lawman no more.
I think Chance takes the second shot.
I'm going to say that given that he is currently lying on the ground, bleeding out, having just also gotten kicked in his injury, this isn't even a roll to do. You just fully, you stare him down as he looks up at you. And I think as you look him in the eyes, you know this is what he was actually here for. This is what he's been trying to do. He's been looking for someone who would be able to kill him. Looking for some person, some human, to kill him by mortal hands, be it by gun, knife. Hell, choking the life out of him if they have to. As long as it wasn't from one of those fucking things. A human death. Something you can understand. That's what he wanted. Right between the eyes, in the skull, where some other bullet failed to land years ago. The laughing stops, and he falls to the ground dead as Floyd continues to try to help Melly.
Shit. All right.
Armin's gonna quickly survey the situation. How close is the storm? Did anyone else come out of the... is anyone else coming over because they heard the shots? Just looking around. Not particularly bothered by Melly screaming on the ground.
People scream. It's
normal things. Do I have to roll for that?
What are you trying to do? Sorry.
Carmen, me, I'm going to get a quick...
You're looking at the scan. You're looking for the shots. Or you're looking for anyone else.
Just quick, completely, just not paying attention to Melly. Floyd's got that handled. Looking around, trying to make keep our sixes covered, you know.
I'm going to say that this time I'm not going to require a roll. The first thing you notice is the storm that you've been watching, that's been following you, does not seem to be getting closer.
Good.
The other thing that you notice is that once again, you can see your breath, and all of you feel a chill start to settle over this area.
We need to get moving now.
Let's give it a damn minute.
Chance pulls the flask that he'd found before, pops it open, takes a swig before passing that down to Floyd.
Give her that. Should help him recover, or at least feel something a little different than pain.
Has it to Melly.
Take a quick sip, and then immediately just pours the rest straight on the wound.
But God fucking damn it.
I mean, what'd you think was gonna happen?
You hand me something that can, disinfect it. I'm gonna use it to disinfect
it. Yeah, whatever.
Crash! One of the windows you saw frost gathering over and now just shatters as it is unable to... It grows too fragile to even support itself and just shatters apart from sheer cold.
Someone help me out, please.
Mist starts to pour out of the general store.
Pick you up, hoist you onto your horse.
Thank you.
A hand the size of the horse's head, only able to see it in the shadow as the mist continues to pour out, grabs onto the door frame, starts to pull whatever is inside out.
I think our benevolent ex-sister is right. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, let's go.
All right. You all continued, you all push forward. You see as the unmoving body of this scarred man starts to freeze over. Fingers freeze, hearted, crack off as the ice, whatever this unnatural cold, continues to spread. You all start to move forward and push your horses to get away. What all are you doing as this thing is continuing to pull itself out from the store?
You know when you're hurt in one location, so you try to hurt yourself in another to distract from it? Nelly's just fully punching herself in the ribs, just be like, don't focus on that.
Alright.
Oh, that's such a fucking terrible image. Okay.
Carmen, if that thing's gonna start coming out, she's gonna put herself between it and Melly and, swing the lantern towards it.
Alright. Give me a roll as you try to, ward this thing off as it continues to pull itself out from the store. So you're down to 4.
I've got no 6s and a 1.
Alright. Then another candle is darkened. These things are true. The world is dark.
Be continued next week. Out with a Bang was GM'd and directed by Talon Cruz. It featured Alyssa Salcedo as Imelda Melly Vasquez, Tanith as Andrew Chance, Quinn Morrison as Floyd Ray Lewis, and Arcadia Reeves as Carmen Rivera. Out with a Bang was edited by Zola Heftigal, with sound design by Casey Fleming, with assistance from Saffron Heftigal. Music for this episode was composed by Jared Carney Cohen, with the series theme song by Jared Carney Cohen, Harrison Lurie, and Owen Prendergast. Additional music and sound effects are sourced from freesound.org, zapspot.com, and soundsnap.com under the Creative Commons Attribution License. For the full list of credits, please visit our website at midnightceremoniesmedia.com. Character art for Out with a Bang was done by Kev Bonaparte. The episode art was done by Addie Lillard. Our publicity team this season includes Talon Cruz, Gina Fu, Addie Lillard, Lucy Kavaner, and Quinn Morrison. Our Rolling Midnight logo is by Lucy Kavaner. Dirty Candles is a Midnight Ceremonies Media production and is produced by Casey Fleming. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and tell your friends, as word of mouth is one of the best ways to support the show. We appreciate all your support and thank you very much for listening.
Proud member of the Rainbow Roll Network. Rainbow Roll.
Our stories, our voices.